claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer on The Raw Deal, where I'm very pleased to be joined today by Danny Saris, who has some 35 years in law enforcement. We're going to begin the report from the Florida condo. Listen to this.
Jim, I can't hear that clip.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Mitchell. Let me see if I can get it way up. Okay, see if this is any better. Can you hear that?
No, don't hear it.
Cannot hear it?
Cannot hear it.
Okay. So thank you. I'll work around it. What we have are reports coming from Florida talking about parallels with 9/11, and to me, very disturbingly, that an Israeli Defense Force group is coming there to assist in searching through the debris and recovering the victims. Now, this, in my opinion, suggests that there may have been more to this than simply a collapse of a structure that had a 40-year lifespan after having been constructed in 1981. That would make 2021 its expected lifespan. It's a lap slab construction that is amenable to collapse. It's desirable design. I've been doing research and making special reports with Joe Olson, who's a highly qualified engineer. Indeed, Joe is qualified in mechanical engineering, in civil engineering, in electrical engineering. This guy is as good as they get. And Joe has now been forced to the conclusion that in spite of the construction and the, you know, vulnerabilities, therefore, that this was a controlled demolition. He's now convinced. He's been looking at a rather large number of alternative possible scenarios, which he will be discussing tonight on America Media Periscope. This is at 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, on the Great Awakening Show with Scott Bennett, who's a former Army Intel and PsyOps officer, who featured me last Friday to talk about 9/11, where I was addressing three specific aspects, namely the faking or fabrication of all four of the 9/11 crash sites, where during an interview I did with Major General Albert Stubblebine, who was formerly in charge of all U.S. military intelligence, including photographic, General Stubblebine not only agreed with all of my reasons for concluding that these crash sites, all four, had been fabricated or faked, albeit in different ways, but added additional reasons of his own why I was correct. Then second, how the destruction of the World Trade Center plays, and where it becomes very obvious that the Twin Towers were destroyed in a completely different way than was Building 7, which only came down at 5:20 in the afternoon, about 7 hours after the destruction of the North Tower, where their modes of demolition could hardly have been more different. The Twin Towers are blowing apart in every direction from the top down. That required some enormous source of explosives, could not have been done by jet fuel, which is principally made of kerosene, that the buildings are being converted into millions of cubic yards of very fine dust. Every floor remains stationary. And when it's over, there's nothing there. They're destroyed to or even below ground level. As Father Frank Morales from St. Mark's Episcopal Church, who was a first responder in different interviews I did with him in past radio shows, but where Building 7 came down in a classic controlled demolition, all the floors are coming down at the same time at very close to the speed of free fall. And when it was over, there was a stack of debris equal to about 12% of the height of the original, 5.5 floors for 47, where had the North and South Tower collapsed, there would have been 12% of 110 floors of debris for each, or about 13.5 floors. So what Joe is going to do, where I featured him, by the way, on my False Flag and Conspiracies conference on the 5th and 6th of December last, where you can access his presentation on where did the towers go for free, compliments of me, just go to falseflagconspiracies2020.com, the URL, falseflagconspiracies2020.com. In the upper right-hand corner, you'll get access to the archives. You fill out a form where we're no charge, no expense. We're just keeping track of who downloads, and then as many as you like, where you might want to download Joe's on where did the towers go. And then Scott had me back Wednesday past with part two. And in addition to, you know, how the buildings were destroyed, how the World Trade Center was destroyed, I addressed who was responsible and why, which becomes pretty obvious from the beginning when you put all the pieces together. Here's our clue. All four of the flights emanated from airports where security was provided by ICTS, which is an Israeli firm, and where Larry Silverstein, who took charge of the World Trade Center just 6 weeks before the event occurred, where he fired the security team that had been looking after the World Trade Center since 1970 and replaced it with an Israeli company, who then renegotiated his insurance coverage to include an anti-terrorist clause so that he could claim that there had been, since there had been two planes, there had been two attacks, and collect a double indemnity, about $4.5 billion on a $114 million investment. They don't call him Lucky Larry for nothing. He's a close personal friend of Bibi Netanyahu. They have conversations over the phone every Sunday. Those are just a few clues. Now, tonight on America Media Periscope, Scott will be featuring me and Joe Olson to discuss differences between the Florida condo collapse and what happened to Building 7, which stand in stark contrast to what happened to Buildings 1 and 2, the North and the South Tower. So as well as Mike Harris, who's a completely brilliant guy, astute political analyst. So this should be quite a show. I recommend you mark it if you have the time available this evening from 8 to 9 Central, 9 to 10 Eastern. Check out America Media Periscope. Danny, let me bring in you for your thoughts about all of the above. Yeah, as I say, Joe and I have now done several reports about it, and you can find them on my BitChute site at BitChute channel Jim Fetzer. I highly recommend doing so because we have worked our way rather patiently through all the alternative scenarios, not taking for granted any skullduggery was at work, but doing our best to systematically sort out what happened. And you're going to find the latest update from the guy who may be the most qualified engineer in the country tonight on American Media Periscope. Meanwhile, in multiple swing states, flash drives, UAPs, 2020 election were reported either missing or suspiciously inserted into the voting systems used in the election. This is pretty damn serious. Meanwhile, agents raid home in Maricopa County in voter data theft investigation, confiscate 8 hard drives, 3 computers, and a bag of USB sticks. In the State Farm Arena in Fulton County, Georgia, moreover, we identified numerous activities where USBs were transferred suspiciously between election personnel. One was a strange pass between a mother and her daughter. 2 election workers made famous due to their suspicious activities during the election. Back in October 1st of 2020, it was reported that an election laptop and memory sticks, USBs, were stolen in Pennsylvania. In Wisconsin, we reported on a missing flash drive in Milwaukee. At the same time, the city recorded 120,000 votes, all for Joe Biden, on the morning of November 4th. One IT expert reached out to us a few days after the election and shared information on the voting systems that had been used. He located a previous audit report from an audit of the Dominion voting system in California, showing a high-level diagram of the Dominion system, which is likely similar to the setup in Pennsylvania and other locations, which showed that there are laptops or workstations on site that some of the workers can access after ballot images are scanned in. Our expert stated he kept thinking about the USB drives and immediately noticed this is where election data, forged or faked images, could be inserted or changed. When a number of USBs are missing or lost, the proper response would be for the location or district where the USBs went missing to replace all USBs in the location or district with similar credentials as the missing USB. There is no indication this happened in the 2020 election. This whole scenario opens the door to manipulation of votes through the USBs before they were delivered to the location where they were to be counted. The safekeeping and security of USBs used in the 2020 election were very weak or even missing altogether. There is evidence showing a pattern of USB abuse in swing states where Biden was eventually awarded the win. Danny, your thoughts, my friend.
Jim, no audio on that clip.
No audio on the clip. Can you hear Danny now speaking?
No. Is he speaking right now? No.
Yeah. Danny's been speaking. Yes. Yeah, but Danny, can you turn up your voice? Mitchell, see if this is any better. Danny, regroup, begin again, and let's see if we get better connection with Mitchell. Can you hear okay now, Mitchell?
No, I hear nothing, Jim.
Wow. Danny, why don't you call in? Call in to Mitchell, and we'll get you through Skype your sound here at 540-352-4452. Call Mitchell, 540-352-4452. You have the slides, so you'll see where I'm going, and we can get your audio and commentary that way. So you can drop off. You can drop off right now from the Zoom and go. As soon as you're there, Danny, we'll continue. Okay. Not a problem. It's pretty clear we have more and more evidence. What Danny is saying is that trained investigators know how to conduct interrogations and questioning. He feels that there ought to have been much more done already by this point. I do believe that the results of the Arizona audit are going to blow apart the myth propagated by the Democrats that this was a clean and safe election, which is obviously an absurdity and contradicts the 4 years of their complaint that 2016 was stolen, which we heard 24/7 from the highest to the lowest ranking Democrat. I mean, embarrassingly bad. We heard 4 years of the complaints about the theft of the election of 2016. And now we won't hear any evidence about what happened here on 2020. I take it, Danny, we now have you with Mitchell. Am I right?
I'm trying to give him a call, Jim.
Okay. I thought he was going to call you. Yeah.
Either way works.
Let me know when you got him. In any case, I think this is a brilliant report exposing exactly how they were doing it. But the Dominion machines, we know already, were designed
Please leave your message for
designed to steal elections. So, Danny, are you good? Can you reach Mitchell? He was trying to call you. He just called you. Danny. Sure. But he was seeking to call you. The number is 540-352-4452, where Mitchell reached your answering machine. 540-352-4452, Danny. You got it? Here we go.
Hey, Dr. Fetzer, can you hear me?
Yes, Danny. Go ahead. Give us your critique again. Back up and start all over.
Okay. So what I was saying on that last segment, you were talking about, what's going on with the elections. What I don't understand is I can't tell who officially is doing the investigation or what agency is doing the investigation. They're not giving us all the details of what's going on. But here's what I can say, sir. You know, any competent investigator he's not going to be an engineer. He's not maybe going to understand every single facet of how the election was stolen. But what he can do is he can interrogate everybody, and through interrogation with help from experts, engineers on the election and on the Dominion system, what he can tell is he can tell when people are lying to him. Okay, he's going to be able to pick up on all the different statements that they use. People under interrogation usually break. You can tell when someone's lying to you, they change their statements or whatnot. And you can see a lot of that going on behind the scenes. It wouldn't be hard. For instance, the two girls that were taken into custody in Georgia, it would have been very easy with analyzing that film and interviewing them separately, especially looking at their backgrounds. it had been very easy to put together and get out of them exactly what they did, you know, under punishment of jail. You know, I've seen many criminals that are tough back in the day, but what happens is when they get into an interrogation room, okay, they fall apart, they can't keep their story straight, and the next thing you know, they're telling you everything when they know they're going to go to jail. And I don't see any of that going on. None of that's coming out in the public. We don't see anything about the investigators. If there was a real investigation going on this, and there could be behind the scenes, again, we're not getting the details on what's going on. They're not going to give this kind of stuff out to the public. But it would be very easy to break this down and catch all the characters that have been involved with this, especially like in Michigan at the election houses, where you had all that fraud with the people putting the paper or the cardboard over the windows and all the different shenanigans that took place that night. It'd be very easy to interview and interrogate all these different suspects. Then you can put it together on exactly what happened, what individual did what job pertaining to the fraud, where they were getting their money, okay, and who was paying them. And it would be very easy to put all this fraud together that's behind the scenes to figure out what's going on. It wouldn't take that long. And what I don't know, I mean, you know, if I was in there, I'd be interviewing everybody in detail. I think we'd know exactly what's going on. But maybe by design, this is going on behind the scenes, and they're not telling the public yet, or they're not giving out these details.
My suspicion would be that they have to prove that a crime was committed before they can pursue the criminal matter, in that having established a fraud in these various states, that we're going to see criminal inquiries of the kind you're describing take place very rapidly, Danny. Meanwhile, speaking of crimes and fraud and so forth, we have what appears to me to be a highly political event. The chief financial officer, Alan Weisselberg, for the Trump Organization has been indicted. Trump Organization CFO Alan Weisselberg surrendered to authorities today after prosecutors secured grand jury indictments against him in the former president's family company, which declared the move an effort to harm Donald Trump. This occurred yesterday. Charges against Weisselberg and the Trump Organization are expected to be unsealed later in the day in the New York State Supreme Court. They said that they were allegations of unpaid taxes on benefits for Trump Organization executives. Very suspicious to me, Danny. This is the kind of thing that can be very easily fabricated. Weisselberg is the first individual to be charged in connection with a long-running criminal investigation by Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance Jr., a Democrat, of course, who is now collaborating with New York Attorney General Letitia James, a Democrat, of course, to investigate Trump's business practices, where Trump is the Republican candidate of all candidates of recent past history whom they fear beyond words. No doubt about it. This is, in my judgment, a highly political organization. Trump, in an interview Wednesday night from Texas, where he had a presidential-style event with Fox host Sean Hannity, lumped the New York investigation with other past probes that he insists have been politically motivated. All nonsense, he said. New York radical left prosecutors come after me. You gotta fight. Prosecutors declined the con man. Although the indictments could pose trouble for Trump, exposing his company to potential fines and intensifying pressure on Weisselberg, neither the former president nor anyone else in his firm is expected to face charges this week. Prosecutors are hoping Weisselberg will offer testimony against Trump in exchange for lessening his own legal risk. But I consider that highly unlikely. Weisselberg has worked for Trump since the 1980s, considered the most important figure in the Trump Organization apart from family members, those who are committed to Trump, highly loyal. And this appears to me a completely fabricated case. we're going to come back and get your comments, Danny, after the break, which is about to hit us. And I just add a few more words. Dan's office open. Here we go. We'll be right back with Danny Cirrus after the break.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Now, given the number and importance of the stories Danny and I are discussing, we'll open the lines to callers after, at the bottom of the second hour, not the top, the bottom of the second hour. Danny, this appears to me just one more in an endless effort by the Democrats to tarnish the one opponent they fear the most. What is your take?
Sir, I'm going through all the notes of this the best I can, and this just looks like another hit piece, another witch hunt by the Democrats to try and dig up dirt, to have something negative in the press to talk about Trump. I don't think there's anything here whatsoever. They don't have any hard evidence. You know, if they did, they would have used it a long time ago. The whole thing is highly suspicious, sir, and I don't believe any of it. Again, I believe it's just nothing more than a witch hunt to try and keep some negativity in the press about Donald Trump.
Well, here's another case where your legal background makes a difference. Pennsylvania Supreme Court throws out Bill Cosby's conviction, orders him released from prison. This is causing dismay to a lot of women, but appears to be on impeccable legal grounds. Cosby, 83, has served more than 2 of a 3 to 10 year sentence for his conviction on charges that he drugged and sexually molested Andrea Constand in 2004. In fact, there are at least 50 women that he appears to have drugged and then proceeded to have sex with. Danny, I mean, I find this bizarre why anyone would want to have sex with a drugged woman. Surely the whole idea is to engage in mutually consented sexual activity both of you want to engage in with one another, not to take advantage of a woman who can't even be responsive. I mean, I find this bizarre in the extreme. Now, the case began in 2005 after Constand went to then Montgomery County District Attorney Bruce Castor with her allegations. Castor ultimately declined to file charges against Cosby in the case, but reached an agreement with the comedian not to prosecute if Cosby would set for a deposition in a civil case Constand had filed against him. Years later, the court said Castor's successors did not feel bound by his decision and decided to prosecute Cosby, notwithstanding that prior. In other words, he agreed not to charge Cosby if in the civil case, he would give a deposition and admit to all of his activities, which Cosby, acting in good faith and, of course, in his own self-interest, proceeded to do. From the court's decision, we hear, in 2005, Montgomery County District Attorney Bruce Castor learned that Andrea Constand had reported that William Cosby had sexually assaulted her in 2005 at his Cheltenham residence. Along with his top deputy prosecutor and experienced detective, the attorney Castor thoroughly investigated Constand's claim. In evaluating the likelihood of a successful prosecution of Cosby, the district attorney foresaw difficulties with her credibility as a witness, based in part upon her decision not to have filed a complaint promptly. Further determined a prosecution would be frustrated because there was no corroborating forensic evidence and because testimony from other potential claimants against Cosby likely was inadmissible under governing laws of evidence. The collective weight of those considerations led him to conclude that unless Cosby confessed, there was insufficient credible and admissible evidence upon which any charge against Mr. Cosby related to the Constand incident could be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. Seeking some measure of justice for Constand, Castor decided the Commonwealth would decline to prosecute for the incident, allowing him to be forced to testify in a subsequent civil action under penalty of perjury without the benefit of his Fifth Amendment privilege. Unable to invoke any right not to testify in the civil proceedings, he relied upon the district and proceeded to provide 4 sworn depositions. During them, he made several self-incriminating statements. His successors, however, did not feel bound by his decision, decided to prosecute him anyway. The fruit of Cosby's reliance upon Castor's decision, his sworn inculpatory evidence, were then used by Castor's successor against Cosby at Cosby's criminal trial. We granted allowance of appeal to determine whether D.A. Castor's decision not to prosecute in exchange for his testimony must be enforced against the Commonwealth. And they concluded that given the agreement that it was improper that he had been charged and tried using evidence he himself had provided under the circumstance assurance that he would not be prosecuted therefore. And there, my conclusion, Danny, is that however morally may appear, especially to women, but I share that sense of outrage, this was nevertheless a legally impeccable decision. I cannot see how the court could have ruled otherwise. Your thoughts?
Well, it sure looks like by the evidence, sir, that the DA kind of went back on his deal that he had made. I mean, there's no doubt that Cosby is guilty of doing what he was convicted of doing. I mean, you know, we all heard some of the testimony and read some of the testimony of all the women that have come forward. It's really a shame for them because they were violated, you know, sexually, and they have to live with that for their entire life. And that abuse is very difficult to deal with. And it's really kind of a shame all the way around. But again, it looks like it does come down to this DA that made a promise not to prosecute and then used, dug up evidence that he shouldn't have, and he went against his prosecutorial promise that he made, and he used that to prosecute. And if that's true, I would say the court is probably right.
No, Danny, it was his successors. It was not the same prosecutor. It was those who subsequently held his position who decided to contradict. It's like, you know, Barack Obama striking the Iran deal and then Trump coming in and deciding to discount it, which I regard as a huge mistake by Trump. I don't endorse that whatsoever. But it was a different prosecutor, Danny. Meanwhile, the pesky 14th Amendment hinders Biden's plans to give tax dollars to blacks for being black. There's a very good article about this on the UNS Review by Stephen Saylor. No part of President Biden is ambitious as his attempt to place concerns about equity squarely at the center of the federal government's decision-making. This is pretty bizarre. Since taking office 157 days ago, President Biden has promised to put racial equity at the center of everything he does, pledging in an executive order on day one to take a systemic approach to embedding fairness in decision-making as he drafts legislation, hires staff, proposes spending, and develops regulations. But his efforts, which could radically realign the distribution of federal money and benefits in favor of people of color and other underserved communities, are running into legal and political obstacles. I mean, here's one illustration. In late May, Savota Ideri, the owner of Coca Bay Chocolatier in Madison, Wisconsin, where I reside, he'd received $50,000 from Mr. Biden's government, courtesy of the president's efforts to ensure that pandemic relief aid for struggling restaurants and food businesses would be distributed equitably, meaning blacks first. But 3 weeks later, she instead received an email that broke the bad news. The award had been rescinded thanks to a lawsuit filed on behalf of white restaurant owners that successfully challenged the program's policy of prioritizing applications from women and people of color. The check she was counting on would not arrive. I mean, what's stunning here, Danny, is that Biden, who's been around the block, of course, I believe this is actually simply an actor playing the role, but those who are pulling the strings know that all the desegregation, anti-discrimination legislation on the books, equally against discrimination against whites as it does to discrimination against blacks. I mean, the 14th Amendment is talking about the equal protection of the laws applicable to everyone. But for the Biden administration, it's good for the government to discriminate against whites. This is really outrageous. There have been a series of additional decisions reinforcing it. On Wednesday, for example, a federal judge in Florida echoed a court ruling in Wisconsin by ordering a halt to an Agriculture Department program to forgive the debts of blacks and other minority farmers after years of discrimination. The judge wrote, Congress must heed its obligation to do away with governmentally imposed discrimination based on race. The small business program that prioritized people like Ms. Adari was forced to change its rules last month after challenges by white Americans who say the policy is racist. And around the country, Republicans are promising to tie the president's equity efforts to a broader culture war during the 2022 midterm election, arguing that Biden is doing the bidding of liberal activists who believe that all white people are racist. Danny, I think they got a pretty powerful argument there. Your thoughts? Danny, are you still with me? Mitchell, did we lose Danny?
It appears he dropped off. Let me give him a call back.
Please do. Meanwhile, I'll continue with an additional story here. Pelosi taps Liz Cheney for January 6th committee despite Lisa McCarthy's threat, and Cheney accepts. Now, what we got going on here, we got Danny back. Excellent. Danny, please give me your thoughts about these discrimination against white measures that are being taken by the Biden administration, which run afoul of the 14th Amendment, about the equal application of the laws. I mean, this is just, in my opinion, totally outrageous. Your thoughts, Danny?
Well, my sentiments exactly, sir. I mean, you know, thank goodness it looks like they're not going to get away with this. This, to me, this is just another ploy to pay off people to continue to vote Democrat. The Democrats are looking for ways. They know they're in extreme trouble once this fraud is exposed and how they stole the election. You know, in my opinion, sir, they've been stealing these elections in many states, including California, for years. We saw the fraud. We saw the fraud of the midterms, especially in California with Newsom, when Cox was way ahead, when they Fox had posted that notice that even though Cox was way ahead, they posted that Newsom had won. And I believe that they used Dominion and other methods to rig the election, have been doing so for a long time. And this is, again, that without the fraud, sir, as the fraud is exposed, I believe eventually, and they're not going to be able to pull off this fraud forever. They know it. So in the meantime, they're using all the different avenues they can to drum up Democrat votes, whether it's bring in illegals, have more illegals vote, or by paying off black people using money to bribe them to vote Democrat. That's my opinion, sir.
Danny, I think you got it exactly right. It's a massive bribe that they're extending, trying to make it look as though it's going to pay off for them personally, financially, if they support the Democrats. I believe this is part and parcel of the effort to deal with the reality the Democrats had to cope with. When Rasmussen, back in December of 2019, was reporting that 40% of black likely voters intended to vote for Donald Trump because shutting down the border, his economic program, was raising the wages of the lowest earning wage earners at the highest rate. In other words, it was working. The Democrats, of course, have reopened the borders. They've done away with all the good that Trump was doing, and now they're trying to compensate in an artificial way for what Trump was doing in a perfectly appropriate American fashion, making it the case that the employers raising their wages as a function of the non-availability of cheaper labor that was pouring across the border. Meanwhile, they also want to keep the January 6th mythology alive, where even the FBI, even Tucker Carlson has exposed that the FBI was deeply involved in the events of 9/11, in the events of January 6th, that they were planned in advance, where James, the brother of John Sullivan, has reported that his brother led 226 Antifa members dressed as Trump supporters into the Capitol, where Nancy Pelosi, as the Speaker of the House, had control of the Capitol Police, and where this was timed and orchestrated to disrupt the discussion of evidence of theft of the election, which Pelosi wanted to happen, while Trump, more than anything, wanted to go forward. So it's very clear the location. Now, because the Senate refused to support the bipartisan committee, Pelosi is moving forward the House committee and has now appointed Liz Cheney, who is just, in my opinion, a disgusting figure. Her father, Dick, by the way, appears to have been the executive director of 9/11 from an underground bunker beneath the White House. There's much to the story I've explained in other places. So including, by the way, oddly enough, on Hannity and Combs, when they interviewed me back in June of 2006 about 9/11, and Ole North, who was standing in for Hannity, well, actually, it was Combs. Alan Combs asked me right off the bat whether I had any evidence that anyone, no, it was Ole. You know, Combs was mistaken, thinking I taught a course on it. I did not. I was doing critical thinking courses where I bring up examples like the Kennedy assassination, 9/11, the war in Iraq, and all that. But it was Ollie North sitting in for Sean Hannity, who asked me if I had any evidence that anyone in the Bush administration, such as Dick Cheney, had been involved. And I said, I'm glad you asked that question, and proceeded to lay out the story of Norman Mineta, how an aide to Cheney came up and said, sir, it's 30 miles out, sir, it's 20 miles out, did the order still stand? And Cheney whipped around and said, have you heard anything to the contrary? Where a plane was flying toward the Pentagon and the order was not to shoot it down, which would have been the obvious thing to do since planes were being used as weapons, shooting it down. You lose the passengers and a plane, but not the personnel and property at the target. It headed toward the Pentagon and then swerved over it. This was a very clever technique to create the visual impression that a plane had actually hit the Pentagon when no plane had done so, as I have explained on my American Media Periscope presentations and elsewhere. So they got Liz Cheney, who's proven to be a very a zealous anti-Trumper, in an effort to try to make it look as though this is somehow a bipartisan committee, when it's again another effort to trash Trump. I mean, look, he cleaned their clock in 2016, even though the election was rigged for Hillary. And then he was doing it again in 2020, where Sidney Powell released an electoral map before all the numbers were switched, showing that Trump actually had won coast-to-coast, including California and Minnesota, 410 electoral votes. But Democrats are still petrified. They're scared. They are crapping in their pants because it's such a threat to their political future. Danny, your thoughts?
Well, I agree with what you said, Dr. Fetzer. I think this is just another hoax. I mean, you know, we all saw the video, the highly censored video. I'm not sure what the title of the video is, but it shows all the shenanigans that took place inside the Capitol on the 6th. And we can see all the crisis actors in there playing their different roles. We can see the fake policemen, with their weapons, pointing them all over the place. We can see the girl pretending to be shot in the window. She climbed through the door where the gun wasn't even pointed at her. We can see her fall back on a pillow. We can see her apply blood. That whole thing was faked. It was done with crisis actors. Again, I would refer anybody to this video. I think you at one time had posted the video. It's highly censored. We probably should at some point give it a title and get it posted somewhere where people can see it.
No, Danny. It's on my BitChute channel. BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. Just scroll down to what really happened at the Capitol. 21 minutes goes to the whole event. By the way, since we're coming up to the break, I want to squeeze this in before. We have a video clip. I hope you'll be able to hear about a motorcyclist who identifies as a bicyclist. Get this. Begins with a quote from Babe Ruth. You just can't beat the person who never gives up. My motorcycle is a bicycle now, and I should be allowed to use it in bicycle races, said Norm Hiccup. Switching gears, the Norm Hiccup story.
Mitchell, I lost my sound again, if you can hear me. Mitchell, can you hear me?
Jim.
Yeah.
Tone, please leave a message for.
Can't get
record
Dan
your
back.
Message at the tone.
Oh God, I'm so sorry. Just know this is a motorcyclist who identified as a bicyclist and began after 65 losses. He began winning races with his motorcycle and just became a hero. He was recommended and featured on because it's just like all the men who are identifying as women now and who are winning all the races against the women and the girls. What we need clearly is a category, a third category of sports. We got to have men in sports versus women, girls versus boys, and then transgenders competing against themselves. This is third situation.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly. You are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial
is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Danny, I want to begin with your take on this fellow Hickok who realized that he was a bicyclist, when he lost six, after losing 65 motorcycle races, and once he realized his true identity, began winning races. As I've already mentioned, we're going to take calls after, at the bottom of the second hour with so many stories to cover. Danny, your thoughts.
Well, I saw that report, Dr. Fetzer. What a farce. I thought it was a joke at first. I mean, the world really is going lunacy. I just don't understand, how they could even conceive this story in the first place. I mean, a 200 horsepower motorized vehicle does not belong in a race that is when we have bicycles that are under human power, that don't even pick up a horsepower.
Danny, it is, of course, a joke. It is satire. But the fact is that it just nails the absurdity of this transgender movement of allowing men to compete in women's competitions when the physiological differences are enormous, the greater body mass, the greater capacity to discharge energy over a shorter period of time. We got one situation. It may or may not be true. This huge guy is winning the women's weightlifting contest because he can lift hundreds of pounds more than any woman. I mean, it's just insulting beyond belief. So you are right. It was a joke. It is a joke. But that's what the Democrats. They are reducing us to accept absurdities. And if they can do that, it's been well observed, then they can induce us to commit atrocities. So, these intellectual shortcomings where we even have now some states or jurisdictions where they're allowing no sex to be put on the birth certificate. So it's not going to be born a boy or a girl, but say to be determined later. I mean, how absurd is that? And where they're, if it's a same-sex couple, they're not requiring the biological parents to be identified. How bad is that? Think of the chaos that's going to generate for law enforcement, Danny, which you know so well.
Well, they're just trying to create chaos. I mean, I'm not sure what their end goal is totally with all this confusion. Somehow, some way, I believe that it's tied to their depopulation movement. You know, it does remind me of Lance Armstrong. If you remember all the controversy he had with the supposed steroids, the whatever, losing his medals, you know, it's just one thing after another. You know, this whole thing of having men compete in women's sports because they put on a wig or whatever, you know, can you imagine back in the day if Bruce Jenner, you know, who won the Olympics, can you imagine back in the day if he would have put on a wig and walked over to the women's side and started competing in all the other things and said, hey, I now, even though I won the men's competition, I now identify as a woman for the rest, and I'm going to go ahead and compete in all these events. And then he dominates and wins, you know, all the gold medals on the women's side. You know, or what if one of the fastest runners in the world right now, Usain Bolt, you know, that we all saw in the Olympics, put on a wig and went over to the women's side and just dominated all the races. I mean, they're just destroying sports as we know it. I don't know what's next, sir. It's totally absurd, and I just try to tune it out for the most part.
Danny, I remember the sense of elation I and most of the country experienced when the Congress passed legislation that created women's sports as separate and equal to men. And, you know, it's just outrageous what the Democrats are doing. I mean, they're stealing elections. They're flooding the nation from our borders. They're promoting this transgenderism. They're allowing the homeless to accumulate on the streets. And Danny, every one of these moves is deliberate. And I think you're 100% correct. They're trying to foment chaos to turn the U.S. into a lawless nation so they can summon the United Nations in to restore law and order. It's something like that, I guarantee you. It is to promote the globalist agenda, just as is the case with a pandemic, where Bobby Kennedy Jr. warns, don't take a COVID-19 vaccine under any circumstances. The nephew of former President JFK recently issued a public statement urging people everywhere to avoid the COVID-19 jab at all costs because it contains an untested new technology known as mRNA, the long-term side effects of which are completely unknown. But as to, you know, what are known, it's all very, very bad. mRNA directly alters the genetic material of those who receive it, much like what happens when scientists genetically engineer GMO food crops like soybeans or corn to make them resistant to bugs or drought. This intervention can be compared to genetically modified foods, which are also very controversial. But to the best of my knowledge, those GMO foods won't kill you, whereas Sherry Tenpenny, among others, has described the mRNA vaccines as perfectly designed killing machines. Even though the media and politicians are currently trivializing the problem, even foolishly calling for a new type of vaccine to return to normality, this vaccination is problematic in terms of health, morality, and ethics, but also in terms of genetic damage. As opposed to older vaccines, many of which can be detoxified following injection, mRNA COVID vaccines live on in perpetuity inside the body. They cause, in other words, is forever. You will have to live with the consequences because you will no longer be able to be cured simply by removing toxins from the human body, he explains. Comparing the genetic damage to the type that causes Down syndrome or cystic fibrosis. mRNA is almost like a continuous vaccine engine that repeatedly vaccinates a person for the rest of his or her life. Because of this, there is no way to fix or cure any problems that arise. This clearly means if a vaccination symptom develops after an mRNA vaccination, neither I nor any other therapist will be able to help you, as the damage caused by this vaccination will be genetically irreversible. It's actually absolutely stunning what's going on here. And I want to And we also have multiple indications that those who are vaccinated are shedding, meaning they can affect those who are unvaccinated, of which I appear to be a beneficiary because, contrary to all my entreatments, my wife and other members of the family have gone ahead and been vaccinated. We just had a visit from my favorite niece and nephew. They too were vaccinated. So now, since some are with Moderna, others are with Pfizer, I'm now in the position of being exposed on all sides, and no doubt will endure such consequences as going to follow therefrom. Danny, your thoughts? I think Bobby Jr. has done a great service here by warning the country to avoid the jab at all costs. Your thoughts? Mitchell, did we lose Danny again?
Good to see, Jim. Yeah.
Oh, I'm.
Let me ring him back.
Can we get him back? Yeah. I mean, listen, the masks are also, of course, extremely dangerous. I just went to my own clinic. It's only a mile away from home. But
at the tone, please leave a message for. Record your message at the tone. When you are finished recording, press pound. To cancel, press star.
I told the aide who was there screening those who were entering that these masks are bad for us. Tucker just did an expose about how the OSHA standard for CO2 in your bloodstream for a month, I think, was 10,000 per million parts. And that a child tested after only wearing a mask for maybe, you know, a few minutes or an hour had 25,000 parts per million in their stream already. And that was just for a short-term exposure. I'm very sorry that we've lost Danny. And I'm going to be as non-conspiratorial about it as I can. But I was most certainly glad to have him here. I'm going to pick it up then, and we'll take callers at the bottom of the hour with further stories we have. And hopefully, if Danny rejoins us, he can add his comments and consideration. Here's one. The mortality rate from the Delta variant is about 8 times higher in people who have been fully vaccinated. Get this. According to the latest statistics, people who got COVID-19 or CCP virus vaccine or two are up 8 times likely to test positive or have to be hospitalized. Hospitalization rates and absolute mortality related to the Delta variant are significantly higher among the vaccinated than among the unvaccinated, according to a preliminary statistical analysis. The data shows people who are fully vaccinated, meaning they received both doses of an mRNA injection, had a nearly 8 times higher mortality rate among those who tested positive for the Delta variant. The evidence in England now clearly shows people who have been injected are to blame for the spread of Delta. And the more people who receive the vaccine, the more Delta spreads. The Delta variant infection rate of people who received at least one dose of vaccine is lower than that of fully vaccinated people, while higher than that of unvaccinated. This is in line with recent data from Public Health England, which found those who have been vaccinated are 600% more likely to die from Delta than those who have not been vaccinated. This is reminiscent of the antibody-dependent enhancement phenomenon that's been seen for other vaccine that's been expressed as a point of concern among many scientists for the COVID vaccine. Vaccines experienced researcher Stephanie Seneff at MIT's Computer Science and AI Lab told LifeSite News. This is very, very troubling, and you add it to the reasons why you ought to be concerned. Meanwhile, a sinister agenda behind California's water crisis, looming food supply catastrophe. Let me tell you why this is so terribly important. We know that Deagle has projected the U.S. population is going to drop precipitously from 330 million in 2020 to, it now projects, 65 million in 2025. So in 5 years, we're going to lose over 200 million Americans are going to die. Now, I believe it's a three-pronged strategy, that the first is the masks, which are killing us slowly. The second is the injections, which are killing us more rapidly. But the third is starvation. And if you have any doubts about it, listen to this story. It will curl your hair. The ingredients are many, but central is a severe drought in key growing states of the Dakotas and Southwest, including agriculture-intensive California. So far, Washington has done disturbingly little to address the crisis, and California Water Board officials have been making the crisis far worse by draining the state water reservoirs into the ocean. This is as irresponsible as any action one could imagine. So far, the worst hit farm state is North Dakota, which grows most of the nation's red spring wheat. In the upper Midwest, the northern plain states, and the prairie provinces of Canada, winter brought far too little snow following a 2020 exceedingly dry summer. The result is drought from Manitoba to the northern plain states. This hit farmers in the region just 4 years after a flash drought in 2017 arrived without early warning and devastated the U.S. northern Great Plains region comprising Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Canadian prairies. As of May 27, Adam Ikus, state climatologist, 93% of the North Dakota state is in at least a severe drought category, 77% in an extreme drought category. Farm organizations predict unless the rainfall changes dramatically in the coming weeks, the harvest of wheat, widely news for pasta and flour, will be a disaster. Let me mention, by the way, we know how to control the weather. We could cure this problem if those in control of the weather modification apparatus were so disposed. This doesn't have to happen as is taking place now. The extreme dry conditions extend north of the Dakota border into Manitoba, another major grain and farming region, especially for wheat and corn. There, the lack of rainfall and warmer threaten harvest, so it's still early for those crops. While not as severe, farm states Iowa and Illinois are suffering abnormally dry conditions. In 64% for Iowa, 27% for Illinois, about 55% of Minnesota is abnormally dry as of the end of May. Drought is measured on a scale from D1, abnormally dry, to D3, severe drought, to D4, exceptional drought. The severe dry conditions are not limited, unfortunately, to North Dakota or other Midwest farm states. A second region of very severe drought extends from western Texas across New Mexico, Colorado, Arizona, Nevada, and deep into California. In Texas, 20% of the state is in severe drought and 12% extreme, nearly 6% exceptional drought, the worst. New Mexico is undergoing 96% severe drought, and of that, 47% exceptional. The situation in California is by far the most serious in its potential impact on the supply of agricultural products to the nation. There, irrigation and a sophisticated water shortage system provide water for irrigation and urban use to the state for their periodic dry seasons. Here, a far larger catastrophe is in the making. A cyclical drought season is combining with literally criminal state environmental politics to devastate agriculture in the nation's most important farm-producing state. It is part of a radical green agenda being advocated by Governor Gavin Newsom and fellow Democrats to dismantle traditional agriculture, as insane as that may sound. Few outside California most known for Silicon Valley and beautiful beaches, is such a vital source of agricultural production. California's agricultural sector is the most important in the United States, leading the nation's production in over 77 different products, including dairy and a number of fruit and vegetable specialty crops. The state is the only producer of crops such as almonds, artichokes, persimmons, raisins, and walnuts. California grows a third of the country's vegetables, two-thirds of the country's fruit and nuts. It leads all other states in farm income with 77,500 farms and ranches. It's also second in production of livestock behind Texas. And its dairy industry is California's in cash receipts. In total, 43 million acres of the state's 100 are devoted to agriculture. In short, what happens here is vital to the nation's food supply. The California crisis has been man-made. Listen to this. The water crisis in California is by far the most serious in terms of consequences for the food supply. In a period when the U.S. faces major supply chain disruptions owing to the absurd corona lockdowns combined with highly suspicious hacks of key infrastructure. On May 31st, the infrastructure of the world's largest meat processor, JBSSA, was hacked, forcing the shutdown of all its U.S. beef plants that supply almost a quarter of American beef. The Green Lobby is asserting, while presenting no factual evidence, that global warming, increased CO2 man-made emission is causing the drought. There's no evidence to support that claim, but the media repeats the narrative to advance a Green Deal agenda with frightening statements such as claiming the drought is comparable to the worst mega droughts since 800 CE. After 2011, California underwent a severe seven-year drought. It ended in 2019 as major rains filled the California reservoir system to capacity. According to state water experts, the reservoirs held enough water to easily endure at least a five-year drought. Yet, 2 years later, the administration of Governor Newsom is declaring a new drought and threatening emergency measures. What his administration is not saying is that the state water board and state authorities have been deliberately letting water flow into the Pacific Ocean. Why? They say to save two endangered fish species that are all but extinct. One, a rare type of salmon. The second, a Delta smelt, a tiny minnow-sized fish of some two-inch size that's all but disappeared. In June of 2019, Shasta Dam, holding the state's largest reservoir as a keystone of the huge Central Valley Project, was full to 98% of capacity. Just 2 years later, in May 2021, Shasta Lake Reservoir held a mere 42% of capacity, almost 60% down. Similarly, in June of 2019, Oroville Dam Reservoir, the second largest, held water at 98% capacity, yet by May, 2021 was down to just 37%. Other reservoirs saw similar drops. Where has all the water gone? Allegedly to save these fisher varieties. During just 14 days in May, according to Christy Denier, a California water expert and farmer, 90% of Bay Area Delta inflow went to sea. It's equal to a year's supply of water for a million people. Denier has been warning repeatedly in recent years that water is unnecessarily being let out to sea as the sea faces a normal dry year. She asks, should we be having water shortages at the start of our second dry year? No. Our reservoirs were designed to provide a steady five-year supply for all users and were filled to the top in June of 2019. In 2008, at the demand of environmental groups, a California judge ordered that the Central Valley Water Project send 50% of water reservoirs to the state to save an endangered salmon variety, even though the GNE admitted that no more than 1,000 salmon would likely be saved by the extreme measure. In the years 1998 to 2005, an estimated average of 49% of California managed water supply went to what is termed the environment, including feeding into streams and rivers to feed estuaries in the Bay Area Delta. Only 28% went to maintain agriculture water supplies. Get this. The past January, Felicia Marcus, chair of the California State Water Resources Control Board, who oversaw the controversial water policy since 2018, left at the end of her term to begin an attorney for the Natural Resources Defense Council, one of the most powerful green NGOs, with a reported $400 million in resources to wage legal battles on endangered species. Appointed by Green Governor Jerry Brown as chair of the State Water Board in 2018, Marcus is directly responsible for the draining of the reservoirs into the ocean after they filled in 2019, using the claim of protecting endangered species. In March 2021, with Marcus as attorney, the NRDC requested the State Water Resource Control Board, Marcus headed until recently, take immediate action to address perceived threats to listed salmon in the Sacramento River watershed from the Central Valley Project. This, as the state is facing a new drought emergency. In 2020, Governor Gavin Newsom, a protege of Jerry Brown, signed Senate Bill 1, the California Environmental, Public Health, and Workers' Defense Act, which would send billions of gallons of water out into the Pacific Ocean.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Okay, I'm opening the caller lines for anyone who'd like to call in. The number 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Happily, we have Danny back. I want to read just a bit more of this report because it's so devastating and revealing as to how the Democrats have gone stark raving mad. I mean that literally. You don't have to be a psychiatrist to see it. Get this. In 2020, Governor Gavin Newsom, a protege of Jerry Brown, signed Senate Bill 1, California Environmental Public Health and Workers Defense Act, which would send billions of gallons of water out to the Pacific Ocean ostensibly to save more fish. It was a cover for manufacturing the present water crisis and specifically attacking farming, as incredible as it may seem. The true agenda of the Newsom and previous Brown administrations is to radically undermine the highly productive California agriculture sector. Governor Newsom has now introduced an impressive sounding $5.1 billion drought relief bill. Despite its title, nothing will go to improve the state reservoir water availability for cities and farms. Of the total, $500 million will be spent on incentives for farmers to repurpose their land, that is, to stop farming. Include wildlife habitat, recreation, or solar panels. Another $230 million will be used for wildlife corridors and fish bashing projects to improve the ability of wildlife to migrate safely. Fish passage projects is a clever phrase for dam removal, destroying the nation's most effective network of reservoirs. They are doing this deliberately. They are doing this deliberately. You've heard the phrase, the lunatics are running the asylum. That is literally true in California. Danny, your thoughts.
Sir, can you hear me?
Yes.
Sir, can you hear me?
Yes, Danny, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, we're having difficulties here. You know, it is absolutely atrocious what they're doing in California. To me, what it looks like, this is a man-made crisis. They're creating a water crisis. They're trying to force people out of California. They're trying to stifle crop grow. I think their next move is to create a food shortage in the United States, and they're doing everything they can to disrupt the food. I think this is another depopulation move. Somehow it might be tied to the election fraud, you know, with what's going on behind the scenes with the audits. You know, there's no way to really get into that and know. But you know what? It makes no sense with all the smart people that we have running and engineers running the dams and running our food supply in California. Why would they make these decisions to purposely destroy the crops and destroy our water and create a drought. It's obvious what they're doing. The only thing is they're not going to come out and tell us exactly why they're doing it.
Danny, consequences and ramifications for the nation are simply devastating, devastating. This alone is going to contribute to a massive food shortage, which appears to be there for the cleanup act of how they want to take out most of the hundreds of millions of Americans who are projected to die between 2020 and 2025. It is appalling. And the Democrats are doing this deliberately. Remember, so much of this is based on the absurd contention that CO2 is bad for the climate. When trees and bushes process CO2 into oxygen, we know how bad it is because CO2, as Tucker was reminding us, is recirculated through the bodies of everyone who wears a mask, where the OSHA standard had that the maximum exposure to CO2 to not harm was on the order of 10,000 particles per million for a 40-hour week. But Tucker reported that for children put in masks, they were up to 25,000 parts per million in a matter of minutes. I mean, this is utter insanity. The Democrats are promoting projects that are going to kill our children. It's seriously going to damage adults, and they're going to lead to mass starvation throughout the United States. The Democratic Party is responsible. Gavin Newsom, Jerry Brown are exemplars. You're from California. I was born in California. This is a travesty beyond imagination. Danny.
You know, sir, this reminds me of another subject.
Danny, are you there? I think it's clear that there's interference taking place, so Danny's voice cannot be heard. Let me see if I can find another way to get him back.
My gosh. What is it with Danny's connection?
I think it's got to be sabotage. I mean, there's no other reasonable explanation. So
dialing him
let
back.
Me see. Okay. Yeah.
At the tone, please leave a message for. Record your message at the tone when you are.
I've sent him a link to get him back on Zoom, and that way he may be able to contribute. This brilliant article by William Engdahl continues. Actually, here's the concluding paragraph. Systematic dismantling of one of the world's most productive agricultural regions, using the seductive mantra of environmental protection, fits into the larger agenda of the Davos Great Reset and its plans to radically transform world agriculture into what the UN Agenda 2030 calls sustainable agriculture, no more meat protein. The green argument is that cows are a major source of methane gas emission via burps and farts. I mean, this is just absurd. How that affects global climate, no one has seriously proven. Instead, we should eat laboratory-made fake meat, like the genetically manipulated Impossible Burger of Bill Gates and Google, or even worms. Yes, in January, the EU European Food Safety Agency approved mealworms, or larvae, sparkling meal is the first novel food cleared for sale across the European Union. I mean, Mitchell, this is insanity, complete insanity. Meanwhile, while we await Danny, and I'm hoping he will rejoin us, and we have no callers on the line, Donald Rumsfeld, the controversial architect of the Iraq War, has died at 88 years of age. Now, let me remind everyone that Donald Rumsfeld was Secretary of Defense on 9/11, the day before, on 9/10. Secretary Rumsfeld admitted that the Pentagon was missing $2.3 trillion from its budget that it could not account for. This is something that an experienced Washington hand like Donald Rumsfeld would not do had he not known something in the meanwhile to obliterate that report from consciousness of Americans so he could waltz into the halls of Congress and ask for hundreds of billions more in defense spending, which is exactly what he proceeded to do. The controller, the chief financial officer of the Pentagon at the time, Dov Zakheim, was not only a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen and a rabbi, but had a company for manufacturing remote control devices for aircraft, which I believe was the original plan in New York City, until they discovered that no physical airplane could actually make an entry into the buildings because of their robust design, that they would have crumbled external to the building and fallen body seats, luggage, wings, tail to the ground, where we have photographs beneath the facades of both the North and the South Tower, and there's nothing there, no aircraft debris. Rumsfeld, therefore, was profoundly involved, and given that no plane actually hit the Pentagon, you can see, given that was our nation's command and control center, they had to fake a Pentagon hit in order to justify this as an act of war rather than merely an act of terrorism, even though, as I have most recently reiterated and reaffirmed, all four of the 9/11 crash sites were fabricated or fake. You can find now my most recent presentation with Scott Bennett on an American Media Periscope for last Friday and now this Wednesday, and where I reiterate this evening, Joel Olson is not only qualified as a structural civil, but also mechanical and electrical engineer. In other words, Joel covers all the bases. We'll be discussing tonight the similarities between the destruction of the condo in Florida and Building 7 in New York, and the differences of those two collapses with the demolition, not collapse, of the Twin Towers. Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, Ehud Olmert, and Bibi Netanyahu appear to be the principal perpetrators of the events of 9/11, which were brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons in the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. I have a whole book about it. You can find it at moonrockbooks.com. This is one of those cases where every American needs to be informed of what actually happened. Just to mention, by the way, I founded Scholars for 9/11 Truth in December of 2005, shortly before my retirement after 35 years in higher education, in June of 2006. The organization took off like a rocket. By the end of 2006, we had on the order of 800 members in four different categories. Alex Jones organized an American Scholars Conference in Los Angeles that June.
Danny's back.
He invited me to be the keynote speaker. And then on Sunday, C-SPAN did a panel discussion where each of the members of the panel, Steve Jones, a physicist from BYU, whom I'd appointed my co-chair when I founded Scholars, Bob Bauman, a Korean War ace, on MiGs in the Korean War, but also had been the scientific advisor by virtue of having a PhD in nuclear engineering to Presidents Reagan and Ford. Webster Tarpley published a brilliant book, 9/11, Synthetic Terror Made in the USA, and me as the founder of Scholars, where I gave a top 10 list of how we know that the 19 Islamic terrorists were fraudulent and fake, where, by the way, a half a dozen of these guys turned up alive and well the following day and made contact with the British media. Mitchell's informed me that we have Danny back at last. Danny, please comment on any or all of the above.
Yeah, can you hear me okay, Dr. Fetzer? I'm not sure what's going on. I keep getting cut off.
Danny, we got it. Go ahead.
Okay, what I was going to say, sir, when I was cut off, we were talking about the water supply situation and what they're doing to destroy the state and the food supply. You know, it's obvious they're trying to manufacture a food crisis throughout the United States. That's going to be their next act on top of all the other crises. But what it reminds me of, sir, is the construction crisis. A lot of people are following this closely, but they created and manufactured a construction crisis through the COVID. And what I mean by it is the Democrats have control of five different lumber manufacturing plants. There's five main ones that caused a bottleneck, and they were purposely raising the prices on materials and bottlenecking the construction. And what I mean by that is the main components would be 2x4s and 2x6s, and then also the sheathing that goes on the outside of the house. They caused the prices of construction materials to go up 8- and 10-fold. An example would be normally a 2x4 costs around $2 a piece for an 8-footer to build a standard stud wall, and the piece of 4x8 sheathing OSB chipboard that they use for sheathing homes on the outside, putting the outside skin on, runs anywhere between $9 and $10 a sheet historically. Well, recently the cost of a 2x4 has gone up as much as $8 to $10, and a piece of sheathing I seen the other day for almost $90. Now, at those prices, sir, nobody can afford to build. It is absolutely stifled construction. And to put that into better perspective, the cost of a building just a standard three-bedroom, two-bath home went up by $50,000 to $75,000 per home just for the high cost of product. So they've manufactured this construction, this lumber crisis, to stop or halt all construction. Prices are starting to fall this month, but again, it seems to me, sir, overall, that the Democrats are manufacturing crises in every industry they can in order to create chaos in the United States in any way they can. And this new water, letting the water out of the reservoirs, nobody can understand why they're letting the water out to create, well, we know why, because they're trying to create a farming crisis that'll lead to a food shortage in the same way we're coming out of the lumber shortage and the lumber crisis that stifled construction, sir. That's my opinion.
Well, it looks like they want to transform America by means of a Green New Deal, even if the public doesn't want it, even if science doesn't support it. They're going to do it by manufacturing these crises that are going to leave us in a desperate plight. I mean, when they encourage farmers to stop farming and to go back, allow it to return to a wilderness habitat or put out solar panels, there's something loopy going on. It's not just that the Democrats are ignorant of science, which does not support any of this. It's that they have been obsessed with an ideological conviction that overrides logic and evidence. They're doing things that are harmful to human beings that are going to be destructive of the United States. And frankly, this is part and parcel why they had to get Donald Trump out of the way, he was an obstacle to going forward with a destruction of America and its conversion to a Green New Deal, which is a lunatic's fantasy. And Danny, I can't begin to tell you, I voted Democrat most of my life. I voted for Bill Clinton twice. Barack Obama twice. But when it came to Donald Trump versus Hillary, it wasn't even close. Hillary is a monster. She's one of the most malignant influences in American politics in our history. She's a completely despicable person in every possible way. And Donald Trump came in as a breath of fresh air. The American people responded to him. He wasn't a professional politician. He was an entrepreneur. He was a successful builder. He had great relations with members of every race. You cannot succeed in that profession if you were even remotely racist. You would be smoked out immediately. He also was the first prominent figure to declare something was wrong on 9/11. He gave an interview that very day with a local New York television network that those who had constructed the Twin Towers, the World Trade Center, were working for him now, and that there was no way that planes hitting the building could possibly have caused them to have collapsed, and that something else must have been involved. He even used the word bombs, meaning powerful source of explosive, about which he was 100% correct. We have been joined by Scaredy Cat. Scaredy, go ahead. Take the floor. Yours.
Hi, Jim and Danny. So I have a question about Danny's such a good investigator. How can he get himself involved? Danny, you're talking like an outsider, like you're looking, standing outdoors, looking through the glass of what the other investigators are doing to count or to trace the evidence of election fraud. How can you or yourself get involved? I mean, do you have to have a job with the FBI? And also the second question is paper ballots. Do you know of even one precinct, voting precinct in America, which has definitely put into law that we are going to have everything by hand, paper ballots, no machines at all, and everybody just eyeball after the polls close at 8 o'clock that we're just going to, I think Jim calls it hand counting. Go ahead.
Do you want me to take that, Dr. Fetzer?
Yes, Danny, please.
Okay, well, to answer the first part of her question, you know, there's no way that I can be involved with that other than, you know, working through Dr. Fetzer to analyze the evidence that comes out. I think what you're saying is how are the investigators involved with this behind the scenes? They're being appointed by different agencies that are involved in the investigation, whether it's local FBI, state officials, state police. It's hard to say at this point because there's so much confusion on who's actually running the investigation. There's no way to really know. They're not even really letting the details out to the public. But I, like I said earlier, you know, any competent investigator on any level would be able to get in there and break this thing apart and show the election fraud. You know, when you start interrogating suspects and you're an appointed investigator, in other words, you have peace officer power, you're sworn, and you're doing your job, you have the ability to prosecute, arrest, or excuse me, at least arrest and put people in jail. You know, these people that break these crimes, they will break down under interrogation immediately. They will give up their sources. They will give up who's paying them to do this, you know, and it leads you on a trail of breaking this thing open. For all I know, that could be going on behind the scenes in Arizona and some of these other states, and they're just not leaking out the details. But, you know, I know how these things can go, and we'll just have to wait and see. Because they're being kind of tight-lipped on all the investigative details for sure. That's pretty much how that works. Hopefully that answers your question.
Charity.
Thanks, Danny. So, again, how would somebody support you? In other words, like you personally, do people hire you as a private investigator so that you can make some income? And also about the paper ballots, I think we have to do it, people of America have to do it, us all go and ask the local election officer.
Yes. Yes, Gary, I think you're on the right track there. You're on the right track there. The state conducts the election.
Do you know of even one precinct that exactly does it how the good guys like Jim wanted hand counting and paper? Is it actually existing somewhere in America? Go ahead.
Personally, I don't know if that, you know, there's been a lot of talk of that. Ever since the election machines have come into play, we know that we've had fraud. You know, in California, it's very corrupt. The system of the recounts is very corrupt. You know, they've hijacked our elections many years ago. There's no auditing taking place. All the audits are always blocked. It's just a catastrophe over and over every single election cycle in California and many other states. But right now, I don't know any states that personally are moving officially to a hand count, which is really the only way to restore order in the United States and get the votes correct. You know, the electronic voting machines have destroyed elections all over the world, much less in the United States. And hopefully, based on the recounts that are going to take place right now and are taking place, hopefully the information comes out to the public. It raises enough awareness, puts pressure on Congress, and we finally throw out these voting machines and move towards, you know, restoring our voting with voter ID and hand counts so we can avoid all this manipulation. As far as me being involved with any investigations, you know, I'm far retired. I appreciate you bringing that up, but there's many competent investigators all over the United States from different and local authorities, sheriff's departments, state police, or what have you, that can crack this thing wide open. It all is going to come down to who's running it behind the scenes, who does the appointing, and who's pulling the strings. And at this point, there's really no way to know exactly who's in control of the investigation and who's controlling the investigators and who's controlling the flow of information. They seem to be tight.
Danny Scaredy, I want to thank you both. I wish everyone spend all the time you can with your family and friends. None of us know how much time we have left. I mean that literally. Have a great weekend. As much as you possibly can. Thanks for being here today, back on Monday.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect, Triangle. Live, Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio, Studio A, for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was...